With that, Pastor Greg.
Thanks, Cass. Appreciate that. Awesome. My name tag has a green dot on it, so I'm coming after her with all I got. I might get the back at me, but yeah, or if you're around a red dot, we'll leave you alone. Yellow? You never know. We got a great bunch of kids, don't we? I love that video. Just so much fun to see what God is doing through our young people. So, so great. This is our second Sunday of our missions month. It was in 1993 that these emphases once a year started. Actually, that's not true. It was the winter of 1994. I became senior pastor in 1993, September. Pastor Couchman, my senior pastor for 8 years, retired. And God directed Sandra and I to step into his very large shoes. And so we did. And it was only 6 months into that process when our administrator walked into my office. And I'm sitting in the big chair, not really knowing what to do, but trying my best as a 32-year-old senior pastor. And she gave me this legal yellow pad with two columns on it. One side had the money we had available, which was about $600. The other side was all of the list of our bills. And on that list of bills, I began to look down them, thinking, what are we going to do? $600 is not going to cover all of these bills. So we're going to have to pick and choose what we're going to pay now and what we're going to put off to pay later. So I looked down and I saw PG&E. Well, we've got to keep the lights on. We have to have church. Saw salaries. Well, that's my paycheck. I want to get paid. We're keeping that. But then I saw a few other things there that I thought we might be able to trim back. And I got to the missionaries. We had been giving to our missionaries every month, but it was in small increments, maybe $5 a month, $10 a month, to about 40 different missionaries. So it was maybe $300 or $400, and even less, that was going out each month. And I thought to myself, we can catch up. It's just $5 or $10 a month. Is that really going to matter to a missionary? And so I told her to cut missions that month and we'd catch up. And I just, okay, good job, Pastor. You're official now. You've made a tough decision. That next Sunday rolled around, and when it came time for the offering, everybody gave, or at least I thought they did. And when I got the report back, our administrator said, you got to look at these numbers. It was just a horribly dismal offering. It was as if just everybody on one Sunday decided, I'm going to take the Sunday off. We're not giving to this week. Then, wow. Well, okay, maybe they're just waiting and there's a gap and the next Sunday will be better. Second Sunday, equally or less as dry. I thought, my goodness, what are we going to do? We're in trouble now. Third Sunday, all-time low. 3 Sundays in a row, after I had made the decision to cut our missions funding, it was as if our funding, just somebody turned off the faucet. And at that point, I decided to be a smart pastor. I decided to pray. And I went to God and just said, God, what are we going to do? We had no money to begin this month, and now we have less because 3 Sundays in a row, we've had a dry offering. And God just has a habit of speaking to me in very short, direct words. And he said, what'd you expect? You cut my heart. I said, God, what do you mean? I really didn't know. It says, when you cut missions, you cut my heart. It says, how do you expect me to pour into the church when you're not generous toward the things that are most important to me? And that destroyed me. We had a board meeting that Saturday. And when I knew the board was going to look at our finances that month, and they were going to go, what is going on? You've been here 6 months in that lead role, and now you've just destroyed our finances. What's happening here? And I confessed. I said, this is what I did. But I also confessed what the Lord said. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We were giving, you know, right around, I mentioned $400 or $500. I said, what we're going to do is we're going to triple it. And their eyes got big. I said, what do you mean triple it? We couldn't even make the commitments before. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our first missions emphasis. And our good friend, many of you know our good friend Deshaun from Sri Lanka, his father was living then, powerful missionary and minister, and he came in and he preached our first missions Emphasis Sunday in 1994. We got pledges to more than triple our commitment that week. And that Sunday, what do you know? The offerings went back up. It's as if God said, okay, you learned your lesson. Ever since that Sunday, you've been around a while. Remember the economic downturn in 2008 and those times? Abundant Life's finances didn't suffer. Through the ups and downs of the economy ever since 1994, our finances have continued, not always by a spike, but to gradually grow. To where I can tell you right now, I don't know exactly the number, but since that time, we've been right around now total, have given between missions, tithe fund, etc., right around $5 million. Given away. That's what God does, church. That's what God does. And I know story after story of personal testimony of people that have made a sacrifice to give, and God has done miracles in their finances. Because that's what Malachi says. It's just God's word. Test me in this, he says. If you're faithful, I'll be faithful. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's what these cards are about. You got one in the mail this week. They're in your seat backs or they're out at the Welcome Center. Sandra and I made a pledge to raise ours every year for the last 26 years. God has blessed our family. We know this is true, not because it's some kind of equational thing, but because it's the heart of God. So I hope you've prayed from last Sunday to this Sunday. If you're not quite ready yet, we still got another Sunday next week to make out your pledge card. And I want to challenge you to trust God, to trust Him. If you want to be sparing with God, well, okay. Be all right with sparing return. If you want to be generous with God, watch what He'll do. And He'll do miraculous things. Now, the missionaries we support are not just names on a piece of paper. They're real people doing real ministry, touching real lives. And we have ministers all over the globe. This morning, our guests are folks that were a part of our church for a couple of years while they were at Stanford University serving under Glenn and Paula Davis. And we grew to love Mac and Courtney Clements. They're family to us. We've spent many hours together just spending time and enjoying company and working through life. And they've been at Ole Miss University for the last 8 years. And they are doing a phenomenal job carrying the gospel to college students. And how many know that's where people need the gospel, like big time, on our college campuses. And they're there fighting a fight that a lot of us will never. That's frontline stuff. And so I just want to take the time, or want you to take the time, just to welcome Mac and Courtney as they come and minister the word to us today. Mac and Courtney, come on.
So I was standing before this giant wall at the University of Mississippi. All right, we got two big schools there. But the University of Mississippi, standing before this giant wall, looking at all of the campus ministries on that campus at Ole Miss. And oh, okay. And I'm like, Mac, count them. Count how many there are. 16 different campus ministries at the University of Mississippi. Okay, so like that's when we were here. We were here and we felt like maybe God was calling us to start a campus ministry at the University of Mississippi. We'd never been to Mississippi before, but then we go and we pray and walk around the campus. There's already 16 campus ministries here, God. This is like my out loud conversation in the student union. God, look at this wall. Why would you possibly want another campus ministry here? You already have campus ministries here. And so we started looking at all the pictures and all the different campus ministries. And we noticed they were like pretty white, okay? I'm talking like pictures of the whole campus ministries all together. It must have been like yearbook picture year or something. I don't know. But their whole groups, and there were very few minorities in any of the groups. Now, Mississippi itself isn't like known for its culturally rich diversity, okay? But specifically this year, 26% of the campus was African American. That we're looking just over 7,000 students. And in 16 campus ministries, there was only one African American in any of the pictures. So we're like, okay, maybe it was like the African American gala was happening during yearbook picture day or something. And so we start calling all the campus ministries and we're getting the responses of, no, we don't have any diversity in our ministry. Actually, the African American students, they all go to like the African American campus ministries. But there were no African American campus ministries. And God just began to like break our hearts. We're still praying and walking around the campus. And it's, then this conversation shifts a little bit. It's like, God, if you is, why a country white couple from Arkansas? Why? Like, surely there is someone more qualified to reach African-American students on the campus. It's hard. Y'all, it's hard in the South to earn influence with African-American students at one of the most racially divided, in the one of the most racially charged campuses in the States. It's hard to be a country white girl, guy, like reaching out to this specific vein of students. But we just, in the, talking to God, walking around campus, we just, this just began to swell up within us that we, God just began to speak to us about what, that he has a plan and a purpose. And there has, these students, this entire demographic has been probably intentionally overlooked. And it just broke our hearts. And in that moment, we just felt like God was saying that he wants to, on this campus, raise up African-American missionaries and ministers and church planters. And he wants to raise them up from within the secular university campus of Ole Miss, wants to raise them up, and it'll be a launching pad. That's something that Ole Miss will begin to be known by, not the racial division that Mac's going to talk about in just a minute, but because of the incredible amounts of minorities, people of color, that are being moved into ministry out of that. So yeah, so Chi Alpha is the name of the organization that we started. It's Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. And actually the scripture that was read earlier, that we are Christ ambassadors. That's what CA, Chi Alpha, stands for. It's not a sorority or fraternity, but we're a great place to find Christian brothers and sisters on the campus. And yeah, you want to tell them a little bit more about what we do?
So before we talk about what we do as missionaries, I really need you to understand our context. Courtney mentioned that it's one of the most racially charged campuses in the United States. And a lot of that has to do with the history. And if you like to kind of research a little bit about the history, there's a great, I don't know if you like ESPN 30 for 30s, but there's one called The Ghost of 62. And it's about Ole Miss and the racially charged history there and how the school was integrated. Also, we'll kind of bounce back and forth between the term Ole Miss and the University of Mississippi. They're the same university. It's just Ole Miss is the nickname. And more widely known than the University of Mississippi. I didn't even know that until I moved there. I'm like, are we at the University of Mississippi or is this just called Ole Miss? You know, but really the nickname comes from, what the lady of the house in, on the plantations, like she would be called the Ole Miss by the slaves. And so that's kind of where the name Ole Miss comes from, sadly. So it's even rooted in the name, the history. And there's a lot of things that are tied to the Confederacy. There's a Confederate cemetery on campus. There's a Confederate statue on campus, also a Confederate statue in the town square. Our mascot is the Rebels, the Ole Miss Rebels, and that comes from the nickname for the Confederate Army. And we used to have an actual physical mascot that was a Confederate soldier. And our flag, our colors are red and blue, you would see rebel flags being waved all across the stadium during the football games. But the university has done a lot to kind of shift a lot of that. But because of that history, it attracts a lot of interesting groups that we'll talk about in a minute. And I've got a picture of the university. It's one of the most beautiful campuses we've ever been on. It's very pristine. And if you've ever seen The Blind Side, that's one of the main universities that the main character is recruited to there. But it's a great place to work, despite everything I'm about to share. So we didn't really know how much we were getting into as far as what God has, thankfully, maybe we might not have went, but, we knew that the KKK had marched on campus, and, here's a picture of them, doing a rally in their hoods in front of one of the buildings. That's one of the chapels on campus, actually. And that was before we got there. So we knew that we Googled that and found that picture. So we're like, okay, you know, this happens. We arrived August of 2014. In the spring of 2014, there was an incident with a few fraternity guys that had hung a noose around the statue. There's a picture of the statue here too. The James Meredith statue, and he was the first African American student to attend Ole Miss, and they had hung a noose around that statue, and there was an FBI investigation open into that whole scenario when we arrived. The very next fall, we had more KKK people. They didn't have their hoods on this time, but they came to campus, and there's a picture of what they did, holding a sign that said, Black Lives Don't Matter. And they got a citation for having guns in their truck on campus.
And this was like a really bad moment for the students, because it wasn't just grown adults like holding the signs. They brought their children.
Yeah.
And it was like they were holding the signs, and it was one of those like statements to students on campus, like, we aren't leaving, like, we're not going to die out. We are raising up a new generation of hatred, you know.
Yeah. In the very next year, a student on the student body senate during some of the protests around the Ferguson shooting posted a very racist thing on social media, and it got kind of shared all over. It was basically saying, you know, if I've got a tree in my backyard, to hang them all if we want to settle this the Wild West style. Basically, that's what he posted. So the university really didn't take much action on that, and so the NAACP student group and the Black Student Union student group stayed just sit-in in the chancellor's office until they did something. But one of our Chi Alpha students, which we'll share more about later on, actually found this guy on campus, prayed for him. One of our Black Chi Alpha students found this guy on campus, prayed for him, and invited him to Chi Alpha. He didn't come, which we had a whole kind of scenario of like, what if he actually shows up? What are we going to do? The next year, we had a neo-Confederate group, and there's a picture of that. They came and did a march on campus about the Mississippi State flag, and that they're standing in front of one of the Confederate statues there in front of the courthouse in town square. And then that very next summer, another group of fraternity guys shot up a civil rights marker in Mississippi, and there's a picture of that as well. And then they took a picture of themselves standing in front of it with guns and posted it on Instagram. So, so we really didn't know what we were getting into, but just to kind of understand where we're coming from, what Courtney's about to share is going to have a greater impact knowing the context of where we're at.
Yeah, so we just wanted to start out by giving you, like, this is what the bit, we call it the mission field, right? So some people are, lots of missionaries are sent to mission fields all over the world, but the mission field that you have sent us to is the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. One of my favorite things that happened this last year during COVID, let me just pause and say, God has done some incredible stuff. For a country white couple walking into that, like, first of all, we didn't have a clue. We still have lots to learn when it comes to diversity and learning and loving new cultures that we're not familiar with. We didn't grow up like that. We've learned a lot. And since the beginning, like since that very first year, the ministry has been primarily African American, which is just incredible. I wish I could explain how incredible it is, but at least 60% of our ministry, even now, is African American. So that's like
really cool from the ground up. Like, so we have just people that come. So there's around 150 students that come on a weekly basis to different, to like the worship service and stuff. So we're probably more than 60% African American there, but even our student leadership team, y'all, this is the first year that we have been, the majority hasn't been white on our student leadership team. And that's a huge deal. And we now have 2 out of our 10 missionary staff, faith-funded missionaries, because you guys, like your church, support us on a monthly basis, just like the rest of the missionaries on our staff. So two of the girls on staff with us are African-American, and God is doing something, y'all. So during the pandemic, we couldn't meet on campus. We couldn't invite African-American students, or, I mean, we reached the white students too, and we reach everybody on campus, but we couldn't invite students to come to a corporate worship night on the middle of the campus because it shut down. So we divided our ministry into 5 different, we called them house churches. And so we had like 30 or 40 that came to our house. So we were inviting brand new students, African American minority students at Ole Miss that they know about all this. We were not just inviting them to a service. We invited them to some white country couple's house in the middle of the woods in Mississippi. You know, and so it was, we were blown away, and people actually came. There's a little bit of like, should I really? But people came in, and one of the girls, after just the second week, pulled me aside, and she said, "Do you know what I love about Chi Alpha?" She said, I can just be black here. And I just like immediately started crying because there aren't very many safe spaces in Mississippi that as a whole that feel like that for our minorities that live there, especially on the Ole Miss campus, where even the Ole Miss specifically is named after something that's just horrible. So we, on a weekly basis, we do a few things. So this is like the mission field is what Matt talked about. We're at the University of Mississippi. It has all your other common college stuff, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, partying, like that is, it's, we have all of that. Actually, a sex traffic ring was just broken up in the university recently. So this is kind of more common on every college campus. We're just honing in on something really unique about the mission field that we're at. And we are your missionary. So there's your mission field and missionaries. Okay, y'all hearing the separation here. Mission field is where we go. Missionaries, so what we do on campus, we have a weekly worship service. It feels a whole lot like church. It's on a Wednesday night on campus. Students come. It's mostly student-led. We have this awesome worship team. It's super cool. We do lots of gospel music because, like, that's what the students love, right? So we do have a weekly worship service. We do weekly outreach, so that could look like tabling. For me, I have my personal outreach on campus this year. I joined the gospel choir on campus, and so my goal is, like, I want to meet with all of those girls and disciple all of them. I want every single one of them to really know what it's like to live for Jesus, not just check a box, like I got my church in on Sunday, but really know what it's like to have a thriving relationship with Jesus.
This picture here is some of the outreaches we've done specifically focused on racial unity, and those are kind of some of our most popular ones. We build a wall on campus and pose a question and have people sign it. We've done a little, they had, I don't know if you can see, but over their mask, they have duct tape of what keeps them silent about racism and not speaking out, and so that was a really popular one as well. So,
and the scripture said, it's all about reconciling. We are all about reconciling students to Christ. So the mission is reconcile students to Christ and then to one another. We believe there is no hope of reconciling students to one another if they're not first reconciled to Christ. So it's kind of like, so in these outreaches, we're raising awareness. You're not reconciled to one another, but the answer, be reconciled to Christ. And then we'll help you learn how to be reconciled to one another. This is kind of cool. So we have outreach. We do small groups. You guys do community groups or life groups, or they've
groups in common.
Groups in common. All right. They were different back in my day here. So we do that. Students lead these groups. We have 26 different small group leaders this year, which is really cool. Like, that's a huge number of leaders. So they lead throughout the week, they do like a Bible study. And then everyone that comes to their Bible study, the leader meets with them one-on-one every week for a discipleship meeting. And we're teaching them some really basic stuff. How to pray, how to share the gospel, how to read the Bible, like how to make a wise decision biblically. You know, we're teaching them some really basic tools. And then it kind of expands. And we do lots of diversity teachings and stuff like that in there. And here is a picture of one of the guys' groups from this year. This guy in the front, Devontae, he's leading it. And then I think there's a picture of my core group from this year. Oh, my core group came last. Okay, so that was, there we go. That's my group from this year, all my girls. They're awesome. Okay, so also we have what we started a few years ago is called a campus missionary in training, which is what we did here with Glenn and Paula Davis. Phenomenal ministry at Stanford. And we did a ministry and training with them. So we have started one at Ole Miss too. So we have students that have graduated and then they're going and telling their parents, I know I've gone to school to be an engineer, but I feel like God has called me into ministry. And so instead I'm going to raise my support just from churches that have an incredible heart for missions, just like yours, churches, families, individuals. I'm going to raise my support, I'm going to raise my salary, and I'm going to be a missionary, I'm going to be a minister, and they're going through the missionary and training program. So far, we have trained and sent out 13 missionaries through that program, and several of them are on staff with us now that are feeling called to start a Chi Alpha group on different campuses in Mississippi. We're the only one right now, so we have actually two Chi Alpha teams going out next year. So we have one Chi Alpha group at Ole Miss, and next year we'll have three in Mississippi that are missionary teams going out to plant to do same kinds of ministry all over the state. And then just because you guys are our supporters, we want to just kind of give you like one of those end of the year reports, but in the middle of the year, okay? So you know you always get those reports at the return on your investment, shareholders yeah. kinds of things. Okay, yeah. So far since we've been there, we have trained 165 students and leader like to be small group leaders, Bible study. That's what we call our core groups. But we've trained them, and the majority of them are now in the workforce. And they took all. So we don't just prepare them for the 4 years of college. We're trying to prepare them for the entire rest of their life. So what they learned, they practiced how to lead a small group of their peers on the college campus. Now they're in the workforce, like most of us in here. And they're leading small groups of their peers in the marketplace. So it's just really cool. We've had over 100 students have accepted Christ as their Savior, which is amazing. So look, that's really amazing. Let's give it up. Give it up for Jesus. Okay. That's right. 74 students we've gotten to baptize in water. More than 100 students have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's just really cool. God is doing some cool stuff on the campus. Yeah, we have, okay, staff. We currently have, when we went, it was just me and Mac. Now we have 10. We're two of the 10. So there's 8 additional faith-funded missionaries that work with us full-time. So we have, and like I already said, they're getting together to yeah. lead teams to pioneer. And we have one of the girls on our staff just told us if she feels like God is calling her to plant Chi Alpha at at Jackson State University, one of the HBCUs in town. And we're just like, I mean, that is just next level, you know? So God is going to, we have 7 HBCUs in Mississippi and most of them have no campus ministry at all. So that's just another really cool thing coming.
So we have a picture of our leadership team. That I think that's the next one. That's all, most of the students and staff that are leading small groups this year. And we also have one from our recruitment day from last year of all the leaders that we trained last year. That's the next slide too. Yeah, see. So they're just all masked up there. So what we do this all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. And I tell our students, you know, if Courtney were to pass away, you know, we're 80 and she's like, you know, laying in the hospital about to pass away, and she gives me a dying request, you know, and I know what it's going to be. It's going to be about what her funeral is like, because she is a planner and she'll probably be already planning what it's going to be like even before she passes away, and she's going to want the gospel music, and she's going to want it to be a celebration of life and all these different things. And if I were to, if she were to pass away, and if I were to go out and just do whatever I wanted to do instead of what she wanted to do, that would be pretty terrible of me, right? Well, we have a similar request of Jesus, and I don't like to refer to it as a dying request because he's alive. So it's a, I guess, a living and leaving request. His last words to us on earth, when he was here, Matthew 28:19 or 18 through 20. It's also commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So I preach a sermon about this. I'm not going to start my sermon right now and preach it, but I'm just going to share a little bit from the scripture. There are actually four verbs that Jesus commands us to do there. It's go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. And in Greek, there's a way to emphasize one of those verbs over the rest, and kind of that's kind of referred to as the main verb, and the rest are helper verbs. And if we were to guess which of the four verbs would be the main verb, everybody would say, yeah, everybody always says go, but it's actually not go. I said go the first time. It's actually make disciples. The main command there is make disciples. Now, going is, I mean, you have to go in order to do that, but the main verb is make disciples. So that's really what we focus on with our students at Ole Miss. And it's really one of the reasons we chose to start attending here, because it's a focus of this church. I mean, that's why you hear an announcement about groups in common every single Sunday, because that's where that discipleship happens the majority of the time. You know, this is discipleship too, but, you know, that small group and in community, that's where it happens. That's where the life change happens. So what we do is we try to invest in students so they can invest in students and they can invest in students and they can invest in students. Eventually, they're going to graduate and they're going to invest in their peers in the marketplace and, you know, and so on and so on and so on. It's a snowball rolling down the hill that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And even if I wanted to stop it now, it's already too late. It's gone. The ship has sailed. Students are making disciples all over the world. And if I wanted to recant and try to take it back, I couldn't. And that's how the kingdom of God works. So this next picture is a picture of five students. So our first year, I'm there on the, I guess that would be your left, far left. And Stuart is the guy standing next to me. He was in my first small group. We call them core groups at Ole Miss in 2014. I invested my life into him, met with him one-on-one, just tried to create a really close relationship and make him one of my best friends. And I was successful in that. He is one of my best friends to this day. But the next semester, so I invested him in the fall. The next semester, Caleb started attending. He's the guy in green there in the middle, our small group. And I challenged Stuart, hey, Caleb's coming. Why don't you meet with him weekly and teach him everything I've taught you? And he did. And the very next year, he and Stuart and Caleb went and led a core group together. And Austin started coming. He's the guy with a little mushroom shirt on there. And Caleb started mentoring Austin, and he mentored him that full year. And the next year, Caleb and Austin led a small group together. And then Trey, the guy on the end there with the orange name tag, started coming there, and Austin mentored Trey. So that's just five generations right there in 3 years. Our first 3 years. And what's cool is now I can project that forward and say Trey is going through training to plant a church in Mississippi somewhere. Austin is works for like an accounting firm in Houston and has already led two of his coworkers to Christ and is making disciples there. Caleb is a teacher in the inner city of Memphis, ministering to some of the most just impoverished people groups in the city, and I think he teaches the fifth grade there. And Stuart, he graduated, worked as an engineer for 2 years, then quit his job, raised missionary support, did our missionary training process, and is now going to start Chi Alpha at Mississippi State next fall. He's leading the team to Mississippi State. So if everything that we do is all for Jesus, we have to pay attention to his last request he gave to us. And that's the heartbeat of missions, is making disciples. And we're just called to do it wherever we go. But some of us get the privilege of going other places and doing it. And some of us get the privilege of sending others to go around the world to do it. So we have to participate in that process if we're really going to try to live our lives and give everything and all to Jesus. So a little more detail about that. Jesus says that we're to make disciples of all nations. And in Acts 1:8, he kind of breaks that down to be a little more specific. He says, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the earth." So as we can see, that's kind of like a progression of that. This Great Commission is becoming more and more cross-cultural as the church grows. And it's also becoming more and more, reaching more and more people that are further away from the gospel, further away from God, that don't really have as much context. So if we're going to live out the Great Commission and our heartbeat is everything we do is all for Jesus, we have to pay attention to the cross-cultural nature of the Great Commission. And for us, obviously, reaching out to African-American students is a cross-cultural mission field for us, but also we challenge all of our minority students and all of our students to reach out to international students. Anybody, challenge everyone to have someone that they're mentoring that doesn't look like them. And one of those students that was mentored in our ministry, her name is Shay, and she's actually the student that I mentioned earlier that found the guy that posted the horrible, nasty thing on Facebook and prayed for him. Shay came to our very last service, or we didn't even have a service then. It was a dinner at our house the very first year. She came to the very last one. So if she were here, everybody would already know her name before we even got up here on stage, because she is just the most bubbly and friendly person you'll ever meet. She's just like a walking community creator. It's amazing. And so when we met her, she came the very last week, and we were like, oh my goodness, she is awesome. But I doubt we'll ever see her again, because she just came this one time. And so we're just going to have to try to find her on campus next year to see if she'll be still involved.
And she wasn't living for Jesus.
No.
She's all in the streets.
She grew up in the Mississippi Delta and got the opportunity to go to the Mississippi School for Math and Science, which is a boarding school, for her last 2 years of high school. In that time, she made a commitment to Christ. There's a lady there that led a Bible study, and she led her to Christ while she was in boarding school. Right after that, a close aunt of hers, her mom's sister, died of cancer. And it really kind of set her on a path to run from Jesus. And that's what she was doing when she arrived at Ole Miss and was, as she would describe, as she was in these streets. And she got involved at that very last service. And then the next fall, she just happened to be a CDA, which is a person that sits at the dorm to make sure that everybody has their ID to get in and you're not going somewhere you're not supposed to. And one of our leaders was also worked in that dorm, and she really wanted Shay to be in her small group. So she would just go down and just hang out with her the whole time while she was at the desk. And Shay couldn't leave because she had to work there. So she's kind of like a captive audience. And she came to a core group for the first time and hated it because we're really open and vulnerable, and she didn't want to share any of her business. And but fortunately, her leader, her name is Serenity, just went after her over and over and over again, and she became just involved in everything. I mean, by probably 5 or 6 weeks in, she was doing announcements on our service and just starting the road back to Jesus. By the end of that year, she had rededicated her life. She'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit and baptized in water, and went through our leadership training to lead a small group the next fall. And the next fall comes around, she's leading her small group, and her grandmother, who helped raise her, passes away from cancer as well. And this time, instead of running from Jesus, she ran into Jesus and, you know, allowed her Chi Alpha family to love on her and went deeper in relationship with them. And then that was her senior year. She graduated, committed to do the campus missionary and training program with us, was raised her support and started and was doing great. And she actually she's the first African-American missionary ever produced in the Mississippi Assemblies of God. And, yeah, that's awesome. And in her internship, she gets a familiar call in April of her internship that her mom has cancer now. And it was very quick, and she ended up passing away within a month of her diagnosis or so. And the same time this time, she ran right into Jesus and allowed her Chi Alpha family to love on her and help her through. And she's now a career missionary on staff with us, and made a long-term commitment to work with us and see students reconciled to Christ and one another. And what's cool is this fall, Kiri, she's the next picture up coming up there. She is doing our campus missionary and training, kind of following in Shay's footsteps. And she's the second Chi Alpha missionary ever produced in the state of Mississippi. And she, yeah, and she's the one that Courtney mentioned that feels called to pioneer Chi Alpha at a historically Black university or college. So it's pretty cool that we see that progression. So, like I said, we have to reach out to those that are culturally different than us, but we also have to reach those that seem far, far from God. And the next story is Morgan's story, and there's a picture of her. Morgan would describe her testimony as she was hiding in the bushes. Anytime she would see someone from Chi Alpha, she would literally hide in the bushes until they walked by, because her roommate, freshman year, got involved in Chi Alpha, and she pestered her to death to come with her, and she would always say no. And she finally came towards the second semester of her freshman year, hated it, but she wanted community and wanted friends, so she kept coming back. And by her sophomore year, she was pretty faithfully involved in a core group and in service. And her background is she grew up as kind of, her family was, I would describe as CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only Christians. And so totally didn't really have any kind of context for church or anything. And just fell in love with Jesus through these small groups and services, and we were able to baptize her in her sophomore year of college. She went through her leadership track, led a small group her junior year, and then in between her junior and senior year, she went on did a study abroad in Spain, and at our fall retreat, her senior year, she pulls Courtney aside, and she's got tears in her eyes, and we think something horrible has happened, but she says, you know, I went to Spain, and I did a research project while I was there, and I had to do it. I chose to do it on religion because that's something I'm interested in. And she said, it just broke my heart because there are so many people that don't know Jesus there, and I feel like God's calling me there to be a missionary. So she's in her second year of internship with us now. So she did the CMIT program last year. She's doing a CMIT extension this year focused on world missions, preparing to go do missions in Spain. So that's so cool to get to see someone come in not knowing Jesus at all, have no context, far from God. 4 years later, they're leaving, graduating, and becoming a missionary and preparing to go to world missions. And what's neat is Chi Alpha is the fastest growing missionary arm within the Assemblies of God, and it's the largest producer of world missions for the Assemblies of God. So that means that more missionaries come from our secular universities through the ministry of Chi Alpha than our Bible colleges. So God is moving, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, amen. You understand, like, we're just one of the people on the wall out there that you've sent to a mission field that has a very distinct call. And all of these other, we have a wall of missionaries that are being produced, and they are going to have a wall. And because of your faithful support to your missions program here, you are literally advancing the gospel around the world. I want you to feel the weight of your giving, because it's huge. So we have a word to leave with you guys. So missionary, mission field, or y'all, we're still with the missionary mission field, okay? We believe that the mission field is where you go to every single day. So y'all look at a neighbor and or if you're at home, shout it out loud, or tell your husband or wife or kids, where do you go every single day? Like Monday through Friday, where do you go? Somebody goes to school. Somebody, come shout it out. Let's hear. You know, where do you work?
Lyft.
Okay. Look, he is going to work at Lyft, which means Lyft would be your mission field, man. That's your mission field. Who else? Where do you go every day? Shout it out.
I heard of school.
The hospital. Yeah. All right, you work at the hospital. That is where you go, like Jesus' last command to go. That is where you go every day. That is your mission field. Because according to the Bible, biblical, Christian stuff, you are either a missionary or you are the mission field. There's no in between one or the other. You are either reaching people on the mission field, or you are the mission field and God is preparing someone to reach you. You are either the missionary where you go every day to your work, to your school, or you're the mission field. Does that make sense? Y'all get that? So we are missionaries, specifically vocationally missionaries sent to the University of Mississippi, but you are a missionary sent to the place that God designed for you to go every single day. And so our challenge to you is to look at your job, school, and where you car, like look at that as your mission field. Learn your mission field. Like we had to learn a whole new culture and we're still learning. We said things wrong. We had to learn how to talk to people and able to achieve the cross-cultural nature of the Great Commission, the all nations, reaching all nations. So our challenge for you this morning, of course, continue giving to your missions program, because you're literally like money that is placed in the hand of God. It never stops spending. That's what we're talking about this morning. You have supported us financially, and that funding is helping another that is producing another. It never spins up. It never runs out. It never runs out. Money that you place in the hand of God regarding missions and your local church. But you are the missionary to your mission field. So we challenge the students, like you're a student at Ole Miss. This is your mission field. You are a campus missionary. And you got to learn the context. But the very first thing we ask them to do is just be bold enough to out yourself as a Christian. Like, just let people know it's riskier here in California than it is in Mississippi, okay? I know. We lived here, and I, like, one day I saw a guy wearing a WWJD bracelet checking me out at Chipotle or something. And I was like, oh, are you a follower of Jesus? Because it's, like, it was a big deal finding just a random person out there. And he's like, I am. Are you? Like, before we can have an exchange, he wants to make sure I am too, you know, that I wasn't going to attack him or something. So that was his way of saying, hey, I'm a Christian if anyone happens to see this. But I just want to challenge you to be a little more bold than that. And you can say, you know, I am one of those people that I kind of live my life. I'm really involved in my faith. And so if you ever need anything, I would love to pray for you. I've heard Glenn Davis, Chi Alpha director at Stanford, say, hey, would you like for me to pray for you? And they're like, no. And he says, okay, well, I'm either going to pray for you right here where you can hear me, or I'm going to walk out of the room. I'm going to pray for you behind your back. So, you know, which would you rather? And they're like, oh, no, just do it right here. I want to hear what you're saying. So there is a way, and everyone's going to have their own unique way, but let everyone know. Let them know that you are actually a Christian, and I know it's risky. So I'm asking you to take a risk. Choose today to take a risk to let your little light shine. I used to sing that growing up. This little light of mine. Okay, so let your light shine. Let them know I am a follower of Christ. Because as soon as they know, when they begin to have questions, or when they hear something, or when they're really mad at the church, you're the person they're going to go to. Which positions you to do ministry to them, to be the missionary on your mission field. Does that make sense? But the first thing has to happen. You have to let everyone know that you're a Christian in some way. Okay, so that's my challenge for you today. You are the missionary to your mission field, and your mission field can change. You could be at this job today or this job tomorrow, but the missionary piece, that's the piece where you fulfill the Great Commission, where you go and make disciples of everyone around you and teach them about Jesus, all nations. That piece, that never changes. Jesus isn't coming back to give a new last thing that he's saying. Like, that is the command. So that never changes. You're always a missionary. Your context of where you are shifts a little, okay? So, not right now, but in just 1 second, I'm going to ask if you are willing to accept the challenge. I'm going to ask if you're willing to take the risky step. And I'm going to ask that in just a minute. And when I ask, if you're willing to say, okay, maybe you're like, I've already done it. Everybody knows I'm a follower of Christ. Like, that's a thing I've already done. Or maybe you're like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. Ask my pastor, some of the lead team, like, how can give me some ideas. So if you're willing to do that, then all together, I want you to say, hey, I can do that. Okay, we're going to say it just out loud together. If you're willing. So you're at home, you better be shouting it in your living room. You outside, we can hear it from the street. And in here, we're all going to say it together. If you're willing to take the risky move for courage and boldness to take that first step, then right now, all together, I want y'all to repeat after me loud in your big girl voice, okay? Or guy voice. We're going to repeat really loud, okay? So if you're willing to take the step, take the risk. Let people know I'm a follower of Christ to position yourself as the missionary on your mission field. Y'all just shout it out. Say, hey, I can do that. All right.
Good job.
Yeah, give it up. Y'all heard each other. You heard each other, right? I know Pastor Greg is going to be having lots of stories of y'all coming in. Okay, I did this, and you're not going to believe what happened. It was so awesome. It was so wow. I just did not expect so.
Yeah, so... Be the missionary and your mission field. And thank you guys so much for sending us to Ole Miss. Pastor Sean's going to be coming back up. But I just want to leave you with this last slide here. Oh, Pastor Greg's going to come too. Our prayer team has been our lifeline through this pandemic. I'm sure a pastor would say the same thing about prayer. But you just never know. Everything's shifting. Everything's changing. So we just need a constant source of wisdom. And we would love for you guys to join our prayer team. What it is I send I try to do it every week. It's a very, very short email, like one of those that you can see the end of the email as soon as you open it up. Very short.
Bullet points.
And it has a little small update. Maybe it's just short testimony, something neat that's happened, and also a few prayer requests there. If you'd like to join that, you can scan the QR code up there, and it'll take you to a little page where you can sign up for that. There's also that same slide is printed out at our prayer table out there, and we have prayer cards. Please take one of those. Like I said, this has been our lifeline, so we'd love to have anybody who's willing to pray for us and just continue to fight on campus with us in a different way, in addition to giving. So we really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate that. I hope you caught so many of the subtleties of their stories. The one that I caught ties into our Cultivate Plant Water Harvest theme. And I love that they said this on at least three occasions. The person pestered and pestered and pestered and pestered and pestered. And then when they came, they hated it. But they wanted the fellowship. They wanted the community. Cultivate Plant Water Harvest says, I want to be in your life. I want to be your friend. And right away, you may not believe what I believe. Right away, you may not agree with what I stand for. But what I really like is that you want to be my friend. What I really like is that you just like me. And you want to be with me. That's really the bare bottom of what we heard in so many of those stories. I'm not ready to believe what you believe. I hate that stuff. I don't want it. But I like you. And then the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does and begins to break down those barriers. So as Courtney challenged at the end of the talk, and you're kind of trying to figure out, well how do I do that? Why not just start making a friend? Take him to lunch, invite him to your house, do a shared activity, and just let somebody know that you like them. Because Jesus really does. He really does. I can't wait to hear stories. Can't wait to hear them. Pastor Sean, close us up.
Amen. Amen. If I could just ask you to stand. Just want to remind you that we have this weekend next, just to make those commitments and realize the impact that is being made globally. But it's wonderful for us just to focus on our own ministry and how we can reach those around us. I just want to challenge you as well, for those who maybe have been hesitant to do this in the past, it can be $1 a month, whatever minimal amount that you want to give, just start. Allow yourself to participate with us. And I promise you, you will see God move. But I want to finish just with how we should rejoice in any case when we hear something so wonderful as a testimony as we heard. We're going to praise the Lord. So if you join in with me and sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Sing, He's holy. Moment, Lord, that we worship you We celebrate you, God, all that you've done. May you be glorified, Lord, in our coming and our going. Allow our testimony, Lord Jesus, to be heard for those around us in this wonderful city, Lord, that needs to know you. Go with us. Father, I pray as we move from beyond these four walls, may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say, amen. Amen.